swing of the right leg, and we're underway.
Here we go.
You know what time the game starts? All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today. Is anybody else tired, or is it just me? I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
From the goal line, the 5, the 10, the 15.
Through a hole to the 20, to the 30, outside, to the 40. He may be gone. Midfield, to the 40, the 30, the 25, 20, the 10, 5. Touchdown for Desmond Howard.
5 letters here. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
This is the best thing that's happened in Green Bay in a long time.
Welcome to the Packers Worldwide Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into the 7th edition of the PWW Podcast. I'm Matt Fralick. Alongside me once again, the founder of Packers Worldwide and everything under its reign, Ryan Bowman. Ryan, what is happening?
A lot, man. It's been a busy couple of weeks in this off season for me personally, so I'm glad to just kind of get away from that and talk some Packers. It's been a while since we've recorded again. We're in the midst of the dead zone, so to speak. So glad to, have a couple of things to chat about and excited to get back on the pod with you, man. PWW pod, off-season style. Let's do this.
Some people call it the dead zone, Ryan. NBC Sports would not be one of them. Colin Cowherd would not be one of them either. There's still content and there's still clickbait available for Packers fans to grab on because we are in the dead zone, right? We need more content and we need someone to be pissed off with and retweet some stuff and comment. Like that's what it's about right now.
It's hard sometimes not to take the bait. I think I put out a tweet on Twitter a while ago where I just said, who was it that said that Davante Adams wasn't even considered? It was the PFF guys that were talking about Davante Adams.
It was like around the NFC North.
Receivers in the NFC North, even. Not in the league, but in the NFC North. He's not the best one. Give me a break. Obviously, that's clickbait. Obviously, I just kind of put it out there. Don't give them what they want. They want you to click that thing. They want you to get infuriated so that you'll retweet it and tell everybody how infuriated you are. I don't even think I have Skip Bayless or Colin Cowherd on my follow list anymore just because of the rage that I don't want to feel inside. So that's kind of how I approach that. Maybe that's a very Canadian way of doing things. I don't know.
Well, it's a good way to avoid it. I mean, just naturally, my real job, I work basically with social media all day. And so I just know the algorithms quite well, Ryan. That's very sarcastic. Eventually that's going to come across your feed, just the way that works. So you can unfollow Colin, you can unfollow everyone else, but just the power of numbers, you're going to still see that crap anyways. And I'm excited because, again, personally, I just feel like the summer flies by. It's always nice to have something that, stuff in the schedule where it's not like just hang outside or weekend stuff. So I love recording with you. It's been a great journey so far. But I'm excited for a few things. One, to shut up those PFF guys, because Ryan Schoberg will have another article coming out with the wide receivers and the addition of the Around the Sea North that he's been doing. I'm excited to see what he says because he's been putting out great content for us. He's just had the running backs edition one out. We just put that out as we hit record. So I'm excited to dive into that, but we got to have some rationale along the way.
If you haven't checked out that series, it's really good. So Ryan's already dived into the quarterbacks and the running backs. We also have Kieran Sprecher, who's been doing his seasonal breakdown as well. He goes, we've been doing that on the podcast here, but he really goes into the details of each and every matchup that the Packers are going. Definitely check those guys out. Check out their articles on Packers Worldwide. You can get those guys on Twitter. Ryan Schoberg is at Ryan_Schoberg. And then you can also get Kieran Sprecher. It's at Kieran Sprecher, which is at KIRIANSPRECHER. I know it's a mouthful, but check it out, guys. Check out their content. That's what we've going on in the off season. We've got the podcast going on. We're trying to keep you guys engaged. We're trying to keep everybody excited about what's coming up. And we've got something coming up, potentially. Rookie camp is coming up. Tell me what you're thinking about rookie camp.
It's another benchmark in the NFL's quarantine schedule, and they've done really well. I keep saying that to everyone. Like, I have to keep reiterating it, how well they've done through the pandemic. And granted, they haven't had a season at full capacity like the NBA or the NCAA, but I just feel like as a whole, take sports out of it, the organization that is the National Football League has done a really good job of holding their cards tight, right? And so we don't really know a ton, at least I don't, about the rookie camp. I know it's coming up. I'm excited for it because it's another, like I said, a benchmark and how things are going to progress. I'm less optimistic after the last 5 days, just hearing the saga that's been the NBA and the Major League Baseball, just kind of the issues they've had. And there's just been some stuff along the way where it's like, this isn't really working out the way everyone thought. It's not, this whole bubble thing isn't really all that great. So I'm a little pessimistic that way, but I'm excited to at least have something, whether that be just guys, I don't know, running some cone drills and resistance bands and a few of them with a couple trainers, that even if it's that, I'll still take the content at this point. How about yourself?
Well, it's really unclear what that's actually going to look like. It's in 2 weeks, but we don't have really any idea what the safety protocols are going to be. I know Lambeau Field has done a really good job of telling stakeholders and season ticket holders what those restrictions are going to look like. I thought that was awesome on their part to just come out and say, yeah, you're going to have to wear a mask. There's potential that you're not going to get seats. They're really coming out in front of it. But as far as what rookie camp looks like, I mean, former Packer and now president of the NFLPA, J.C. Tretter, just tweeted out tonight, that the union and the league are far apart on what that's going to look like. And the NFLPA is really focused on safety protocols and even starting training camp. But, you know, the league's kind of focused on escrow and the money aspect and how much can we hold back from your salaries to make this work just in case we lose revenue from ticket sales. You know, in classic union negotiations between the NFL and the NFLPA, I'm kind of mind blown that we're actually 2 weeks away and some of those key points aren't negotiated yet. If we actually have a rookie camp in 2 weeks, I will actually be kind of surprised. I hope that that happens and deadlines have a way of spurring action. It's hard to envision them coming that close together, just seeing how far apart they are right now in those negotiations. But I'm going to just cross my fingers and trust that the former Packer, J.C. Tretter, will negotiate his way through and get the players what they want and make it happen.
You talked about Lambeau Field. I've been down to Lambeau Field the last few weeks, just kind of bopping around. They have the new Titletown district down there, the football field, been running around on that. It's actually been kind of fun biking down there once in a while. So it's cool to see not a lot of people down there, but it's still out in open space. Don't have to worry about people. But speaking of things at Lambeau Field, though, like, we got a game in week 10, Jacksonville Jaguars coming to town, Gardner Minshew under the helm. That's fun. That's going to draw fans, I think, just to come want to watch him. I think he's like kind of like a Packer guy, right? Like, he's got that little, if you're wearing cut off shorts and a headband and like probably no t-shirt with a lot of chest hair, you're going to fit in with the Green Bay Packers. So I'm interested to see how that'll go and just the matchup that is Minshew versus Mike Pettin. So that's the first headline I'm looking at. What do you see going into this week 10 matchup?
Well, I mean, it's a noon game. It's in Lambeau Field. Thinking by week 10, we're starting to get into that range where hopefully, again, everything going well, fans are at games. I have serious doubts about the first quarter of the season, the preseason, etc. But by week 10, let's look on the positive side and think that we're going to have fans there at home at Lambeau. So right off the bat, I see an advantage for the Packers there. I mean, you mentioned Gardner Minshew. Yeah, like, he's just a character. He's like a 1990s dad or something. It's awesome. I love it. I love it. As far as the Packers versus the Jaguars here, I see Aaron Jones having a pretty good day. That the Jaguars run defense last year was not very good. They did have some injuries down the stretch there, but I think in this offense, not just Aaron Jones, but now you're adding AJ Dillon into it, another year with Tyler Irvin in the offense. I think they're going to get some chunk yards on that defense. Minshew is a good quarterback, but I love me some DJ Chark. I actually really, really, really wanted the Packers to draft DJ. That didn't work out. I just don't know that they have enough firepower to take over this defense at home against the Packers. I see the Packers kind of pulling this one out, probably with like a 10-point, you know, 27-17, 27-14 kind of win. Well, like, what are you thinking about here?
I see it the same way. There's a lot of new faces, right? That defense is being overhauled. They draft three rookies, led off with CJ Henderson, you know, the cornerback. They signed Joe Schobert. I do think the Packers win this one. I think they're going to be hitting their stride around this point, at least coming back off a long week, being in San Francisco the week before. I look for the Packers to win this one. I'm going to say 33-20. The Packers don't really host the Jaguars that often, so it'll be new group of fans, people coming up from Florida, hopefully enjoying themselves. I have the Packers winning as well. Week 11 in Indianapolis. A lot of new faces there. Some familiar ones. Xavier Rhodes is there, joined by Philip Rivers. He's still getting a chance. DeForest Buckner was added in the offseason. I kind of like what the Colts are putting together. They're finally adding some pieces. They do that again in the offseason with the draft. Jonathan Taylor being selected, Michael Pittman Jr., giving some resources to not only Philip Rivers, but making it not a one-trick show for T.Y. Hilton when healthy and Marlon Mack as well. I'm excited to see what they can offer on both sides of the ball. To be honest, I forgot about the DeForest Buckner signing, and the only reason I was actually reminded of that was because of our man, Kieran Sprecher, with his review of the quarter three games like we're doing now. So check that out. It's fantastic. I love reading this. This is the one game, Ryan, where I've gone through and I've kind of flip-flopped a little bit. I want you to start. What do you think the Colts are going to offer up at home against the Packers?
Yeah, I think the Packers are in tough here. This is not going to be an easy game. It's Philip Rivers and his 12 children. That's a tough matchup for them. He's also played well against the Packers for some reason. You know, they did make some big signings, like you said, DeForest Buckner. They traded with the 49ers and signed him to a four-year extension. One advantage, I think, is that they did sign cornerback Xavier Rhodes, which means Devontae Adams is going to have himself a day because the roads are open when Xavier is out there in front of Devontae. Hey, they got a really good one in Wisconsin running back Jonathan Taylor, though, in the second round. That guy's no joke. I think a lot of Packers fans were thinking maybe he'd be around in the second round for them instead of AJ Dillon. I like this game. I think this is actually going to be a really close game. And I see the Packers squeaking this one out. I think the Packers are going to have a tough battle and maybe even have to come back from behind late in this game to win. I'm going to take the Packers on the road in this one, 24-17.
Dang, shots at Xavier Rhodes, which is justifiable. I mean, it's been a tough go for Xavier Rhodes. Like you mentioned, I'm glad you brought that up. Philip Rivers, I feel like I don't want to say he plays his best against the Packers, but it seems like you never have the cliche Philip Rivers fourth quarter, 4 minutes left, gotta get 5 points scenario. He's always playing with a lead, and I think the lead helps them even more. They have Justin Houston, they have Darius Leonard, they have DeForest Buckner. I'm concerned not really with the Packers blocking those dudes, but I'm more concerned about the fantastic offensive line that is the Colts. And now they have another gentleman, Jonathan Taylor, with Marlon Mack. I really do think this is the game where the Packers finally slip up. I'm gonna call it 21-17 Colts. So at this point, I have them with 3 losses. You have them with 2 losses as we progress through the third quarter of the 2020 season. Sunday Night Football, love that. In Lambeau, also love that. Checks boxes. We haven't really talked about the Bears too much. You haven't heard a lot of chirping from Bears fans this year so far. I've talked to a few. Nothing over the top. Nothing like last year. People riding the high of Matt Nagy in that offense. Like, where are your expectations at least this year for the Bears? And who do you see coming out on top week 12?
Well, I think it's obvious why we don't hear those fans from the Bears, particularly the loud group of them that were insisting this was a changing of the guard. Mitch Trubisky was now better than Aaron Rodgers and the window was closed for the Packers. Now they go out and they've traded resources for Nick Foles and his whopping cap hit, while teams like the Patriots are signing Cam Newton for the vet minimum with an incentive-laden deal that can go up to $7.5 million. I mean, if I was the Bears, I would have rather had Cam Newton, honestly, than Nick Foles. And that's no shot at Foles. I think Nick Foles is a really good, competent, like borderline backup / starting quarterback. But if Cam Newton is healthy, Cam Newton is an MVP caliber player. For me, that just seemed like a really forced move. And it wasn't a very good one in my mind from a cap perspective. And they literally just traded up all of those draft picks to pick Mitchell Trubisky ahead of Patrick Mahomes, who just made literally $4 billion, and Deshaun Watson, who's going to make $4 billion, and Mitch Trubisky doesn't even get his fifth-year option. If I'm one of those Bear fans that's been shouting from the rooftop that Mitchell Trubisky is better than Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years, I'm probably hiding out at home right now. As far as the Bears' hopes this season, I mean, Kieran said it best in his article. They still suck, and they're not going to beat the Packers. The Packers are, in my mind, clearly better team. I think that Bears defense is still really good, but whether it's Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky, I'm not scared of that offense. And I think the Packers are actually going to pull this one out pretty handily, 24-13.
That's a wider margin than I would expect, because I just feel like we've talked about this previously with the Minnesota Vikings matchups, where it's like, it's never a foregone conclusion that either team, whether they're hot or cold coming into a game, is going to blow a team out. Clearly speaks about the volumes that you feel where the Bears are at. And I just, it really is tough to look at, because what could have been with Mahomes, but then the fact that you like don't give him his fifth year option, and then you overpay for Nick Foles. I look at the Bears like, you thought you had a thing cooking, and it just like kind of fell apart, and it just seems to be the narrative all the time with them. I do have the Bears losing as well. I think it'll be a little closer than 24-13, but I just think that the firepower that's going to be on the offense by the Packers, the time it gets there, plus the defense, I think, is going to get after Foles a little bit, and I'm really still not confident in their run game all that much. I'm really not too concerned about them from any dynamic other than maybe Khalil Mack disrupting and getting after it. But I'm going to go 17-14. I'm just going to go on a limb and say it's a snow game, Sunday nighter, and that's why it's a low-scoring game. There's something about Khalil Mack going across, looking at Aaron Rodgers, that's it. Just, I always feel like Rodgers is a little timid, and to justifiably so, right? Like, the dude almost ended one of his seasons. I'm going to go 17-14, bringing us to week 13 of the quarter three. Getting into the final stretches, getting to December, finally. Obviously, some snow will be on the ground at this point. They stay home again for another tough matchup versus the Philadelphia Eagles, 3:25 game, another primetime one. I'm excited to see what the Eagles roll out, because it seems like every year we downplay what they've either done over the offseason or what they haven't done, and lo and behold, they still seem to be turning out a good product. Basically, it all, to me, Ryan, relies on Carson Wentz, are you healthy? That's really all it comes down to. So assuming Carson Wentz is healthy come early December, what do you expect the matchup to look like in Lambeau?
I actually think this is another tough matchup for the Packers. I think they win handily against the Bears, and this is like a trap game for me. Coming off a big divisional rivalry win against the Bears again, you know, this is that same team that beat the Packers at home last year. They didn't get worse. I mean, they got Darius Slay. They picked one of the wide receivers that I was really hoping would drop to the Packers and we'd take, Jalen Reagor. So, I think this is a tough one for the Packers, and they seem to have a hard time against the Eagles defense in particular. So, you know, I think that's going to be tough scoring for them. And I also, you know, it all depends on Packers rush defense, because this is a really good running football team. I think if the Packers improve in their rush defense, they can win this game. I'm just not super confident that's going to happen from the inside linebacker position yet. I mean, surprise me with Kamal Martin, surprise me with Oren Burks having a big jump. I think Christian Kirksey's going to be good, but I just don't like how this one lines up on paper. And I'm actually going to take the Eagles in this one. It hurts me to say that. Similar to last year, a really close down to the wire win for the Eagles. I'll say 21-20.
I like what you're laying out there as far as what your expectations of like just how the Eagles are going to approach it. And I think it's similar to the way the Niners have approached it, right? You've been able to run the ball effectively. Why would you stop doing it now? And unless the Packers can show something in the first half of the season that they're able to actually slow down a running attack, you know, essentially that's what they're just trying to attack the Packers with. And I also look at the offensive line. Like, the offensive line is improved for the Eagles, and that's generally one of their benchmarks of like just why they're so solid. They basically upgrade Jason Peters for a younger Andre Dillard, and they keep the same core, Kelsey, Brandon Brooks, Elaine Johnson, who are all phenomenal. I thought they were going to make a splash maybe in the offseason with another weapon, but you know, Zach Hurts is probably cutting it. I know they brought back DeSean Jackson. They did go out and get Marquise Goodwin. Again, just a speed dude. Alshon Jeffrey, if he's healthy, great. I do think the Packers win this one. I was at the Packers Eagles game last year. Wasn't a great game. I was very disappointed in Jimmy Graham. He's no longer on the team. There's a few things that just kind of slowed the game down from a momentum standpoint, especially early on with the cheap shot from Derek Barnett on Jamal Williams. I'm interested to see what sort of vengeance there is, if any. I think the Packers do win this one. I could see the trap game that you're laying out 100% Sunday nighter, short week, but I just really do think they're going to have to focus, especially at this point in the season. They're getting down to the wire. You want to go with high momentum. You don't want to have a trap game happen this late in the season. I do think the Packers win this one. I'm going to go 24-21. I'm excited to see just how the Packers at least adapt. They're obviously going to have that opportunity earlier in the season, week 9 in Santa Clara, to do that against the Niners. Just like I said at the last episode, I would be ecstatic if they're at this point with 3 losses. They'll probably have another one here or there. But anything as we progress towards the fourth quarter of the season, Ryan, that you want to highlight or anything you want to mention maybe going into the fourth quarter as far as certain matchups?
You said it. If we're looking at them as 9-3 after the third quarter of the season, I'm pretty happy. You know, like those two games that you picked, the Colts, I picked the Eagles to win either of those games, I think we both agree are going to be tight games that could go either way. And the Packers can absolutely win either one of those games. 9-3 going into the final quarter, lots of, you know, stuff at home coming up in that final quarter as well. I think it sets them up really nicely for the final push to the playoffs. And if they're sitting at 9-3, you got to think they're either winning their division and definitely vying for that number one seed, which is really the only thing that matters anymore. No more number two buys. And maybe that's a good thing for the Packers, who have struggled to get beyond the championship round as number twos, you know, not necessarily getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs. What do you think?
I'm excited. I like where your head's at, but I'm just excited to see what type of performance is out on the field in week 15 and 16. They're non-divisional games, right? They get to play the Panthers, who we don't really know what they're going to look like without Cam Newton, nor do we know what they're going to look like without Kyle Allen. And Christian McCaffrey's that guy. Luke Kuechly's not there anymore. So I'm very interested to see how just they overall look and how the Packers play against them. And week 16, like, is Ryan Tannehill back? Is he really the guy in Nashville? Like, however, there's still that massive human being, Derrick Henry, behind him that he gets to hand the ball off to, which is pretty convenient. And I believe Mike Vrabel's one of the better coaches in the league. So I got to trust him. And I'm just excited to see that, because I think that's a really good test going into the playoffs. You're seeing some teams you normally don't play against, and you're seeing some competition that's maybe altered their... I mean, they had successful years last year. I mean, at least the Titans did. Obviously, the Panthers had issues along the way with, you know, quarterback play that was sporadic. But I'm interested to see from two usually competitive teams how they look against some good competition going into the playoffs. I'm excited for the season, Ryan. I really, really hope rookie camp starts up.
Yeah, I'm excited for rookie camp too. I mean, one of the guys I can't wait to see just in a Packers uniform, in shoulder pads and a helmet, is AJ Dillon. And you asked me one thing I'm looking forward to in the final quarter of the season is a bunch of games at Lambeau in the cold with AJ Dillon starting to kind of come into his own as a rookie football player. I think the combination of him and Aaron Jones is going to be absolutely crushing to some teams down the stretch. And I hope that's what happens. I think that is the model of success for year two in the Matt LaFleur offense. By this point is when you want both those running backs just kind of going on all cylinders. That's kind of what I'm excited. I was watching some AJ Dillon highlights. I just was checking out Ryan Schoberg's article for Packers Worldwide, the Around the NFC North Running Backs edition. And in there is a clip from YouTube of AJ Dillon's highlights from Boston College. Man, just go and watch it. Check out the article, go and watch it, and tell me you can't see those two guys in the backfield together, maybe with Tyler Irvin running around doing jet motions and stuff, and just what kind of nightmares that's going to create for defenses. Other than that, I can't wait for episode 8. We're going to have some real live Packer stuff to talk about. We're planning on doing a few more podcasts when training camp does eventually roll around. We've been doing some long episodes throughout the off season, only doing it every couple of weeks. I think we're going to plan on doing a few more quick hitters just to keep you guys up to date on what's going on in training camp.
I think the matchup of hope comes to fruition of AJ Dillon pounding the rock in the snow in December. that matchup between him and Derrick Henry might be the fastest game in NFL history, just with them running the ball if the chips stack however you want. My rookie dude is Stanford Samuels. That's the guy I want to see at least try to make an impact in the defensive back room. We talked about that a few weeks ago, just how, you know, new faces there with their coaching staff and a lot of guys just vying for a job to maybe get their second contract, maybe just fight for a position, whether it be nickelback, defensive back. Stanford Samuels is a guy that I'm excited to see what he can do. And that's a guy I kind of had talked about a couple weeks ago on a Pack a Day podcast with Andy Herman. He brought me on, and just that was one of the guys. And he said he's shipping me a flag to my house so I can put in my front yard. That's my dude right now. So I'm hoping he fares well for the Packers in his green and gold in his rookie year. Hopefully they can all adjust through it, because that's going to be a trying time for them. And they're not at St. Norbert this year. They're not going to be in the dorms there. I don't know what they're doing yet, but I haven't figured that out. And I doubt the bikes will be a thing once training camps comes along too, which kind of sucks. That's a whole nother aspect that we'll get into as we progress through this offseason. But stick with us, of course. You can find me on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. That's at @MATT_FRA_. Use hashtag PWW team, PWW pod, or PWW mailbox to get in contact with any of the guys that we mentioned, Ryan Bowman, Ryan Schoberg, or Kieran Sprecher, who is not the intern at this point. You told me I couldn't call him intern anymore, and he's definitely worked his way up through that. It was quick. Like it was a very quick internship, and they're like, we're hired. You're hired. Stick with us on Packers Worldwide throughout the rest of the offseason into the regular season or whenever that may start. But Ryan, where else can people get in contact with you and the Packers Worldwide team?
So you can follow our Twitter account. It's @Packers_WW. You can get me on Twitter @RyanBowmanPWW. We already gave those guys a shout out there. So make sure you're following Kieran Sprecher and Ryan Schoberg. They are pumping out tons of good content, tons of good series, and there's more to come. We've got some plans for a couple other series as well as we lead into the off season. We're going to have articles. We're going to have podcasts. Pretty soon, I think we're going to be starting to talk about some of our video components as well. Stick with us, guys. We've got a lot of fun stuff planned, and we're hoping you'll join us.
For Ryan Bowman, I am Matt Frelick. You guys take care, be well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, we're good.
Yes, we are.
Listening to Packers Worldwide Podcast. Like, comment, subscribe, and share with other Packer fans around the world.
We don't need no dumb luck, because we all know the Bears still suck!
That was awkward.